As we kind of push further into the year, you get that feeling of like that urge to refine, to optimize things, especially when it comes to your online presence. You're probably looking at your website right now thinking, how can I make this work even better? And that's exactly what we're tackling today. Is your website really firing on all cylinders? Is it really set up for the success you're aiming for?
That's the critical question for anyone who's really serious about, upping their online game. I mean, having a website that looks good is one thing, but attracting the right audience is really what matters.
Absolutely. So we are taking a deep dive into on-page SEO. These are those crucial elements that are actually on your web pages that influence how well you rank in search engines. And we're going to zero in on some common mistakes that website owners and marketers often make, the kind of things that can really hold you back from reaching your full potential. So think of this as your insider's guide to making sure your site is really performing at its absolute best.
Okay, so we're not just making this up as we go along.
All right.
We're actually drawing insights from a blog post by Janice Ramos, who is a seasoned SEO specialist with a really strong background in both search engine optimization and content marketing. Her article is called On-Page SEO: Mistakes to Avoid Before the New Year. Might have the new year in the title, but the principles she discusses are foundational and remain relevant no matter what time of year it is.
Exactly. Janice brings a wealth of practical experience to the table. Our mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward: to equip you with the knowledge to identify and avoid those on-page SEO pitfalls that could be preventing your website from climbing those search engine ranks and attracting the kind of traffic that actually converts. We're all about those actionable insights that you can implement right away. So let's jump right in. What's the first major misstep people often take?
It often starts with keyword research,
Oh.
or rather the lack of it. It might seem kind of obvious,
Yeah.
but a lot of website owners, they just operate under these assumptions about what their audience is searching for,
Right.
and they totally skip this foundational step.
It's that trap of thinking, oh, I know my business, I know my customers. But what they think people would search for and what they actually type into Google can be two very different things.
Precisely. It's the difference between just guessing and using actual data to inform your strategy. Without proper research, you might create this brilliant content, but it's like having a fantastic party and nobody shows up because you forgot to send out invitations.
Sad times.
And Janice really hits on this with the issue of targeting the wrong keywords. So how does that typically manifest?
Well, one common scenario is going after those ultra-competitive broad keywords. Think of something like digital marketing. The sheer volume of websites all vying for that top spot is just immense.
It's huge. Unless you are a major player with significant resources and established authority in that space, your chances of ranking for such a generic term are slim to none.
You're facing giants.
You are.
And then on the other hand, you might be targeting keywords that are just too general, like simply marketing, that could attract anyone interested in any aspect of marketing, many of whom won't be looking for your specific offerings.
And here's a key insight. Using the wrong keywords, whether they're too broad or too competitive, often leads to attracting low-quality traffic. And these are visitors who are less likely to be genuinely interested in your content, your products, or your services. They might land on your page and quickly leave. And that actually sends all these negative signals to search engines.
Interesting. So how do our listeners steer clear of this keyword research blunder? What are some concrete steps they can take?
Janice recommends leveraging some specific tools that are designed for keyword research. Things like Google Keyword Planner or Refs, SEMrush. These platforms provide really valuable data on what people are actually searching for, the volume of those searches, and how competitive it might be to rank for those terms.
So these tools give you a real peek behind the curtain into the search landscape.
Absolutely. They move you beyond guesswork and into data-driven decisions.
I like it.
Janice also emphasizes the power of long-tail keywords. These are longer, more specific phrases that people use when their search intent is very focused. For instance, instead of running shoes, someone might search for best trail running shoes for flat feet. These longer, more specific queries often have lower competition and attract a more qualified audience because that searcher knows exactly what they're looking for.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about being specific to attract the right people. Once you've identified these valuable keywords, what's the next crucial step?
It's all about integration. Janice stresses the importance of naturally incorporating these keywords into your on-page elements. Mm. This includes your page titles, the headings within your content, like H1s and H2s, which we'll discuss later, and your meta descriptions, those short snippets that appear on your website's link in search results.
Right.
But the keyword here is naturally.
Oh, yeah.
You want the keywords to flow organically within your content.
Yeah.
Not feel forced or out of place, which is something we'll revisit when we talk about keyword stuffing a little bit later.
Okay, so it's about doing your homework with keyword research.
Yes.
Targeting the right balance of terms, including those valuable long tail phrases.
Yes.
And then weaving them seamlessly into your key page element.
That's it.
Got it. What's the next significant mistake that can really hinder our SEO efforts?
Mistake number two revolves around poor content quality.
Okay.
The adage content is king is still incredibly relevant.
It's true.
And Janice really underscores this point.
Uh-huh.
It's surprising how many websites still publish content that lacks depth, originality, or real value for the user.
Right.
And this can significantly harm their search engine rankings.
It's like building a store with empty shelves. It might look the part from the outside, but there's nothing inside to keep people interested.
Exactly. And Janice specifically points out thin content.
Okay.
This refers to content that doesn't adequately address the user's query, lacks substantial information, or doesn't offer any unique insights.
Right.
Search engines interpret this as a sign that your website isn't a reliable authority on the subject matter.
Interesting. And then there's the issue of duplicate content.
Yes.
That sounds like a major red flag for search engines.
It is duplicate content, whether it's copied from other websites or appears multiple times across your own site, can create confusion for search engines.
Okay.
They won't know which version to prioritize.
Right.
And in some instances, it can even lead to penalties negatively impacting your overall visibility.
So the key takeaway here is that poor content, whether it's shallow or plagiarized, signals to search engines that your site isn't a trustworthy or valuable resource.
Yes.
And naturally, it's frustrating for users who don't find the information they're looking for.
Precisely. So what are the actionable steps to overcome this content quality challenge?
Well, Janice advises focusing on creating high-quality, in-depth content that genuinely meets the needs and answers the questions of your target audience.
Yes.
Think comprehensive guides, detailed articles, insightful analysis.
Right.
Content that goes above and beyond just a superficial treatment of the topic.
It's about establishing yourself as a knowledgeable resource.
Yeah.
When your content thoroughly addresses user needs in an engaging way, visitors are more likely to spend time on your site, explore other pages, and ultimately perceive you as an authority in your field.
And when it comes to avoiding duplicate content,
the fundamental principle is to ensure your content is original.
Okay.
Don't copy from other websites.
Right.
And be mindful of not repeating content across different pages of your own site.
Mm-hmm.
If you have very similar content that serves different purposes, look into using canonical tags.
Okay.
These tags tell search engines which version of the content is the primary one, helping to avoid confusion.
Okay.
Janice also recommends utilizing tools like Grammarly and CopyScape to help ensure your content is error-free and original.
That makes perfect sense. Quality and originality are the cornerstones of effective content.
Yes.
All right. What's the third on-page SEO mistake we need to be mindful of?
Mistake number three is neglecting meta tags.
Yeah.
These are the meta titles and meta descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
The snippets of text that appear in search engine results pages.
Right.
They might seem like small details.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they play a significant role in both SEO and user experience.
Absolutely. I always think of those as your website's advertisement in the search results.
Yes.
It's your chance to make a compelling first impression.
Exactly. They provide a concise summary of what the page is about.
Right.
And can significantly influence whether a searcher clicks on your link or chooses another result.
And the mistake here is having missing or just generic meta tags that don't accurately reflect the content of the page.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Consider from the user's perspective.
Okay.
If you see a search result with a title like home and a vague description, are you likely to click?
Probably not.
You want to know what kind of information you'll find on that page before you commit a click?
Makes sense. So the critical insight here is that missing or poorly written meta tags can lead to lower click-through rates, CTR,
yes,
which directly translates to less traffic to your website.
Exactly. You're essentially missing out on potential visitors simply because you haven't provided them with a clear and compelling reason to choose your link over the others.
So how do we craft effective meta tags?
Janice offers some very practical advice.
Great.
First and foremost, she emphasizes the need to write unique meta titles and meta descriptions for every single page on your website.
Okay.
No one-size-fits-all approach here.
Gotcha.
Each page on your site likely targets different keywords.
Right.
And addresses different aspects of your overall topic.
Yeah.
So the meta tag should be tailored accordingly.
Makes sense.
Janice also highlights the importance of including your primary keyword for that specific page in both the meta title and the meta description.
Uh-huh.
This helps search engines understand the relevance of your page to the user's search query.
And there are some practical limitations we need to keep in mind regarding length, right?
Yes. You need to be concise.
Okay.
Aim for meta titles that are under 60 characters in length.
Okay.
And meta descriptions that are under 160 characters.
Got it.
If they exceed these limits, they are likely to get truncated in the search results.
Right.
Which can diminish their impact.
Good to know. Keep them unique, keyword focused, and within those character limits.
Yes.
Got it. What's the fourth common on-page SEO mistake we should be aware of?
Number four is all about header tags.
Okay.
Those H1, H2, H3, and on tags you use within your content.
Mm-hmm.
While they help to visually structure your text, their role in SEO is equal important.
Right. I always think of them as creating a clear roadmap for your content.
Yes.
Both for readers and for search engines.
Precisely. They break up large blocks of text.
Yeah.
Making your content more scannable and easier for users to digest the key information.
Mm-hmm.
For search engines, header tags help to understand the hierarchy and importance of different sections within your page.
Right.
The H1 tag, for example, typically signals the main topic of the page.
And the mistake here is often the misuse of these tags, right?
Yeah.
Janice mentions using H1 tags for purely decorative purposes or skipping levels in the hierarchy, like jumping from an H1 directly to an H3.
Those are indeed common pitfalls.
Okay.
An H1 tag should ideally be used only once per page.
Right.
To denote the main heading or title of your content.
Mm-hmm.
Using it for purely aesthetic reasons dilutes its SEO significance.
Okay.
Similarly, skipping header levels can confuse both users and search engines about the logical flow and relative importance of the information presented.
Yeah.
It disrupts the semantic structure of your content.
So the key insight is that improper use of header tags can hinder the ability of both your audience and search engines to understand the structure and key themes of your content.
Exactly. A well-structured page with a clear hierarchy of header tags improves readability for users and helps search engines better understand the context and importance of different sections.
Okay, so what are some best practices for utilizing header tags effectively?
Well, Janice recommends using the H1 tag for the main title of your page.
Okay.
Then you should use H2 tags for your primary subheadings.
Right.
H3 tags for subsequent subpoints and so on, creating a logical outline of your content.
Yeah.
Think of it like a formal outline you might have created in school.
Yeah.
The H1 is your main topic.
Okay.
The H2s are your major subtopics.
Right.
And the H3s provide supporting details within those subtopics.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with meta tags, Janice suggests including your primary keyword in the H1 tag where it naturally fits.
And the overall objective is to create a content structure that is not only visually appealing and easy to navigate for your visitors,
yeah,
but also clearly communicates the key topics of your content to search engines. Makes sense. What's the next on-page SEO mistake we should be looking out for?
Mistake number five is often an overlooked yet powerful aspect of SEO. Poor internal linking.
Okay.
These are the hyperlinks that connect different pages within your own website.
Right. It's like creating a network within your own digital ecosystem.
Yes.
Helping both visitors and search engine crawlers navigate your content.
Precisely. Effective internal linking helps search engines understand the relationships between different pieces of content on your site and helps to distribute what we call link equity.
Okay.
Think of link equity as the authority or value one web page passes to another through a link.
Gotcha.
Internal linking helps spread this value across your own site, boosting the ranking potential of important pages.
And the mistake here is simply not doing enough of it or not doing it strategically right?
Yes.
Janice points to a lack of internal links as a common issue.
That's the core problem. Without a robust internal linking strategy, important pages on your website might not receive the link equity they need to rank higher in search results.
Right.
It's like having valuable information locked away in a vault that nobody can find.
Yeah, and it's not solely about search engines, is it?
No.
Poor internal linking can also lead to a frustrating user experience if visitors can't easily find related content that might be of interest to them.
Absolutely. A well-connected website provides a much better user experience, encouraging visitors to explore more of your content and spend more time on your site.
So the key takeaway here is that neglecting internal linking can negatively impact your rankings for important pages and lead to a less user-friendly website.
Exactly.
So what are some concrete steps we can take to improve our internal linking strategy?
Janice provides some very practical advice.
Great.
The first is to link to relevant pages within your content.
Okay.
Using descriptive anchor text.
Okay.
Anchor text is the clickable text of a link.
Right.
And it should give users and search engines a clear indication of what the link page is about.
Gotcha.
So instead of generic phrases like click here, you might use anchor text like learn more about our latest product features.
That makes sense. It provides context and encourages clicks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She also emphasizes ensuring that your internal links are logical and genuinely helpful to users in finding related information.
Yeah.
Don't just insert links randomly.
Right.
Make sure they enhance the user's journey through your site.
Okay.
Finally, Janice suggests using tools like Screaming Frog to audit your website's internal linking structure.
Okay.
Helping you identify any orphaned pages or areas where you can improve connectivity.
That sounds like a really useful way to get a bird's eye view of your site's internal link network.
It is.
Okay, what's the sixth on-page SEO mistake on our list?
Mistake number six involves our visual content.
Okay.
Ignoring image optimization.
Right.
Images are crucial for making our websites visually appealing and engaging,
mm-hmm.
but they can also significantly impact site performance if not handled correctly.
Right. Those beautiful high-resolution images can really bog down your page loading speed if you're not careful.
Exactly. And slow loading times are detrimental to both user experience and SEO. But beyond site speed, neglecting image SEO also means you're missing out on a valuable source of potential traffic from image search results.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So the specific issues here are those large, uncompressed images that slow down page load times.
Yes.
And also the failure to use alt text or descriptive file names.
Precisely. Large image file sizes can dramatically increase how long it takes for your pages to load, leading to higher bounce rates.
Uh-huh.
Visitors leaving your site before it fully loads.
Right.
And ultimately lower rankings.
Okay.
And when you don't provide descriptive file names and alt text, the alternative text that displays if an image doesn't load,
right.
you're not giving search engines any information about what your images are about, making them less likely to appear in relevant image searches.
So the key insight is that unoptimized images not only hurt your website's loading speed,
yes,
but also cause you to miss out on potential traffic from image-based searches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are some effective ways to optimize our images for SEO?
Well, Janice recommends a few key strategies. First, compress your images to reduce their file size without significantly compromising their visual quality.
Uh-huh.
There are numerous online tools and software that can help with this.
Absolutely. And she also highlights the importance of using descriptive file names instead of a generic name like img123.jpsg.
Yeah.
Opt for something more informative that includes relevant keywords.
Right.
Such as organic fair trade-coffeebeans.jpg.
Gotcha.
Then there's the alt text.
Okay.
Make sure to provide descriptive alt text for every image on your website.
Right.
This not only helps search engines understand the image content, but is also crucial for accessibility for visually impaired users who rely on screen readers.
And Janice even suggests incorporating your primary keyword into the alt text where it's relevant and natural.
Yes. But again, the emphasis is on natural and descriptive.
Okay.
Don't just stuff keywords into the alt text if it doesn't accurately describe the image.
Got it. Optimize those visuals.
Yes.
What's the seventh mistake we need to address?
Number seven is overlooking mobile optimization. In today's digital landscape, with the majority of web traffic originating from mobile devices,
yeah.
this is absolutely non-negotiable.
Right.
Google's shift to mobile-first indexing further underscores its importance.
Right. For those who might not be familiar, mobile-first indexing means that Google primarily uses the mobile version of your website
yes.
for indexing and ranking purposes.
Yeah.
That's a significant shift.
It is. So if your website doesn't provide a seamless and user-friendly experience on mobile devices,
right.
you're putting yourself at a serious disadvantage.
Yeah.
The specific issue Janice highlights is a non-responsive design.
Okay.
A website that doesn't adapt its layout and content effectively to different screen sizes.
That can lead to a really frustrating user experience.
Yeah.
Where people have to constantly zoom in and out just to read the text or navigate the site.
Exactly. And that poor experience inevitably leads to high bounce rates and consequently lower search engine rankings.
So the key insight here is that a website that isn't optimized for mobile is essentially hindering its visibility in today's search environment.
It is.
So what are the essential steps for ensuring mobile optimization?
The most critical step is to ensure your website employs a responsive design.
Okay.
This means that your website should automatically adjust its layout, images, and text to fit the screen size of any device, whether it's a desktop computer, a tablet, or a smartphone.
And Janice also recommends testing your website with Google's mobile-friendly test tool.
Yes.
That sounds like a valuable resource.
It is. It provides a quick and easy way to see how Google perceives your website on mobile.
Okay.
And highlights any significant usability issues.
Gotcha.
Finally, she emphasizes the importance of optimizing your site speed specifically for mobile users, as mobile internet connections can sometimes be slower than desktop connections.
Makes perfect sense. Mobile first is definitely the guiding principle.
It is.
What's the eighth on-page SEO mistake we should be focusing on?
Number eight is closely related to mobile optimization: ignoring site speed.
Okay.
Even if your website looks fantastic on every device, if it takes an eternity to load,
yeah,
you're going to lose a significant portion of your visitors.
Absolutely. In today's fast-paced world, people have very little patience for slow-loading websites.
Yeah.
They'll simply click back to the search results.
Exactly. And search engines are well aware of this.
Yeah.
Site speed is now a direct ranking factor.
Okay.
Meaning that slow loading times can negatively impact your search engine positions.
Interesting.
Janice points out that many website owners overlook site speed, especially as they continue to add more content, images, and interactive features to their sites.
So the crucial takeaway here is quite direct. Slow loading times not only frustrate your website visitors,
yes,
but also directly harm your search engine rankings.
It's a double whammy for your online presence.
It is. So what are some actionable steps we can take to improve our website's loading speed?
Janice suggests utilizing tools like Google PageSpeed Insights to analyze your website's performance and identify specific areas that are causing slowdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The tool also provides recommendations on how to fix these issues.
That tool is incredibly valuable for diagnosing speed-related problems.
It is. She also mentioned several common optimization techniques.
Okay.
Including compressing images, which we've already discussed.
Right.
Minifying CSS, JavaScript, and HTML files, which involves removing unnecessary code to reduce file sizes.
Okay.
And leveraging browser caching to store frequently accessed resources on users' devices.
And she also recommends considering the use of a content delivery network, or CDN. Could you briefly explain what a CDN is and how it helps with site speed?
Certainly. A CDN is a network of geographically distributed servers.
Okay.
When a user visits your website, the CDN delivers the website's content from the server that is physically closest to the user's location.
Right.
This reduces the distance the data has to travel, resulting in faster loading times, especially for visitors who are located far from your website's main hosting server.
That sounds like a smart strategy, especially if you have a global audience.
It is.
Okay. We're nearing the end of our list. What's the ninth on-page SEO mistake we need to be careful to avoid?
Mistake number nine is overusing keywords.
Okay.
A practice often referred to as keyword stuffing.
Right.
This is an outdated and counterproductive tactic that can actually lead to penalties from search engines.
Right. I remember a time when people would just cram as many keywords as possible into their content.
Yes.
Hoping to trick the search engines.
No.
But thankfully, those tactics don't work anymore.
Exactly. Keyword stuffing, which involves excessively and unnaturally repeating keywords throughout your content, meta tags, and even alt text.
Right.
Not only makes your content difficult and unpleasant for humans to read, but can also trigger penalties from search engines who view it as a manipulative practice.
So the key insight here is that trying too aggressively to include keywords can backfire.
Yes.
Negatively impacting both your user experience and your SEO efforts.
Precisely. So what's the right way to approach keyword integration in our content?
Well, Janice emphasizes focusing on creating high-quality, natural, and conversational content. That includes your target keywords where they fit organically.
Yes.
The keyword inclusion should enhance the content's relevance.
Yeah.
Not detract from its readability.
That's the crucial point, natural integration.
Right.
She also suggests using variations and synonyms of your primary keywords.
Okay.
To avoid excessive repetition.
Gotcha.
Instead of using the exact same keyword phrase repeatedly out as, try incorporating related terms.
Yeah.
The overarching principle is to prioritize creating valuable and readable content for your audience.
Mm.
Natural keyword inclusion will follow.
Makes perfect sense. Quality and natural language should always be the priority.
Yes.
All right. We've reached the final on-page SEO mistake on our list. What's number 10?
The final mistake number 10 is neglecting analytics and monitoring.
Okay.
SEO is not a one-time set it and forget it activity.
Right.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
If you're not regularly tracking your website's performance, you're missing out on valuable insights and opportunities for improvement.
It's like trying to navigate without a map or a compass. You might be moving forward,
yes,
but you have no real idea if you're heading in the right direction or making any progress.
Exactly. Without proper analytics in place, you won't know which pages are performing well,
right?
Which keywords are driving traffic to your site,
mm-hmm.
where you might be experiencing issues like high bounce rates,
mm-hmm.
or even if your recent SEO efforts are having the desired effect.
Yeah.
This lack of data makes it difficult to make informed decisions and optimize your strategy effectively.
So the critical insight here is that without consistently monitoring your SEO performance, you're operating in the dark and missing out on crucial information that could help you significantly improve your results.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So what are the essential practices for effective analytics and monitoring in SEO?
Well, Janice strongly recommends utilizing tools like Google Analytics and Google Search Console. These are fundamental platforms for tracking your website's visibility and performance in Google's search results.
These tools provide a wealth of data,
right,
including information on your organic traffic, the keywords you're ranking for,
mm-hmm.
user behavior on your site, and any technical issues that Google might be encountering with your website.
Okay.
Janice also suggests setting up regular reports to track key metrics, such as organic traffic volume, bounce rates, average session duration, and keyword rankings.
Right.
This allows you to identify trends over time.
Yeah.
And quickly spot any significant changes in your website's performance.
And the final crucial step is to actually analyze that data and use the insights you gain to inform your ongoing SEO strategy and make necessary adjustments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Continuous data analysis is key to understanding what's working,
uh-huh.
identifying areas that need improvement, and adapting your approach to achieve your SEO goals.
All right, that's a really comprehensive overview of those 10 common on-page SEO mistakes that website owners and marketers often make. It's really eye-opening how these seemingly small details can collectively have such a significant impact on a website's performance.
They truly can. Addressing these fundamental on-page SEO elements is crucial for improving your website's visibility, attracting more relevant traffic, and ultimately achieving your online business objectives.
So as you're reflecting on all of this valuable information, consider this. Out of these 10 common pitfalls, what is the one area of your website's on-page SEO that you believe deserves your immediate attention to truly unlock its potential in the months ahead?
Yeah.
Take a moment to really think about your website and where you might have some quick wins.
And remember, gaining a solid understanding of these foundational elements is just the starting point.
Yeah.
The world of SEO is constantly evolving, and there are always new strategies and techniques to explore for deeper optimization and a more profound understanding of your audience's behavior.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for taking this deep dive into on-page SEO with us. You're welcome.
I'll catch you next time.